We'll call the meeting to order. This is a meeting of the Port of Astoria Board of Commissioners in a workshop session, July 21st, 2026. We have a roll call, please.
Commissioner Hill.
Here.
Commissioner Fickell is absent. Commissioner Roan is absent. Commissioner Campbell.
Here.
And Commissioner Stevens.
Here. Would you please join me for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have a functioning quorum tonight. We will proceed with the meeting. First item, are there any changes or additions to the agenda? Hearing none, I'm asking for public comment. In this period, it's an opportunity to speak to the commission regarding any topic. Those wishing to speak must fill out a public comment form. Those participating via Zoom may raise their hands during the public comment period. Nobody has turned in any public comment cards, so we'll move on to our first agenda item. Tonight, we are only going to have advisory items. We won't be holding a vote on anything. Advisory item A will be a first reading of an ordinance enacting rules and regulations governing our tenants and our property. A copy of the ordinance is available for each person who desires a copy, and the ordinance will be read by title only. If you want to know more, we'll gladly give you a copy and won't be necessary to read the whole thing today. This is the first reading. At a later date, we will, after recommendations are made to staff from the commission and anyone else, we will have a second reading and probably vote for it at that point. Director Isom, anything you wanted to add?
Matt, do you have anything you want to add?
Just a real quick prologue to this. This is something that's been a few years in the making. You know, environmental regulations being what they are nowadays, everything's becoming a little more strict, more stringent. So we really didn't have anything that was up to date with environmental regulations. So we've gone back and forth with House Counsel on this, how to address these things and allow us to actually manage best management practices, clean up, and then actually issue fines to people that are violating environmental regulations across port property. So we'll let Stacy get up and kind of hit some of the finer points on that. But just wanted to give the commission a bit of preface. That's why we're doing this.
Looking to reinforce again at the next meeting?
Yeah, it would be the August 4 meeting would be the second reading.
Yeah.
Yeah. Safety and mobile service.
Commissioner Spence wasn't here, but I can hear his voice in my head. So for the record, my name is Stacy Bandy. I'm Port's Environmental Compliance and Permits Manager. I'm here today to introduce the Port's new Environmental Rules and Regulations Ordinance. As Matt said, this actually has been a long time coming. You can see on page 2 of the ordinance, 6 of the packet, our existing environmental ordinances were written in 1912. And while they served the purpose then, they no longer reflect the reality of modern port operations or the current regulatory requirements. The goal of this ordinance is to establish clear port-wide framework for environmental protection, for stormwater management, housekeeping expectations, and nuisance abatement on all port properties. It outlines responsibilities for the tenants, for port staff, and general users, and provides consistent enforcement mechanisms so we can address issues quickly, fairly, and effectively. Let's see. I think of this as a modern tool in our tool belts to reduce preventable problems and help us stay compliant with state and federal laws. That's my summary. I'd be happy to answer any questions you have.
Commissioners? Who drew this up?
This was a collaboration. Stacy did a lot of legwork. I worked on this, and then Eileen reviewed it.
I looked at every port in Oregon and Washington, their environmental laws, the municipalities. There's a lot of research behind it.
Do we do any sampling next to the highway, spaceships here around the turnaround?
I don't believe so. I sample at Pier 3. I think that's the closest. I sample at the last spot before the outfall in the Columbia. All of the monitoring locations are associated with discharge points from our industrial operations. So that's going to be the closest one in that direction.
State city land, isn't it? Most of
It may be DSL land that we.
it. As I recall, the thing that really started this off was the copper that they found out there. Is that correct?
That was the Tier 2 stormwater facility was built because of copper. Correct.
I've heard of the wayside that anywhere you take a sample along the highway, or you find the copper. And we're below them, and it washes over. So, why do we have to blunt the whole cost of all this cleanup and testing and everything?
That's a great question. I think if we could go back to 2017, we'd probably make some different decisions. Yeah.
The other thing I had, I questioned the port having the authority to issue a fines against people because I don't think they have the arrest authority, do they?
If you look at the recital on page one, I believe, let's see, so we look at the Clean Water Act statutes, D2, but our authority is granted by the Oregon Revised Statute 777.190. I think that is where our authority comes from.
We do have the ability to levy fines. I mean, we do that now with parking citations down here at the port. I think Stacy mentioned is the word consistency, but one of the challenges in not having an updated ordinance like that is we largely rely on the lease documents. But that can be challenging at times because we have lease documents that were signed 6 months ago. We have lease documents that were signed 30 years ago. And so there's a lot of inconsistencies between the leases. And so then when it comes to environmental and enforcement, you're sort of treating one tenant different than another based on what their lease is. And so the only way to really supersede that is through an ordinance that becomes kind of an umbrella over the entire port. I don't think our goal here is to have a revenue center based on fines from this document. It's more so so that we have backing, especially if tenants are doing things that are going to cause us environmental issues or getting outside the bounds of their lease area, that if their current lease wasn't specific to that, it put the port in a tough spot because we really had nothing formal that gave us the ability to do any sort of enforcement. And so this new ordinance will create some consistency around that. And hopefully it's one of those deals we don't really have to use.
DEQ has the ultimate enforcement, is that correct?
But they're one of the agencies, yeah. But
Yeah. How many overlapping agencies we got? It's like we're kind of overlapping some of the authorities there, but
yeah.
might be wrong.
One of the challenges that we have, just to address what Will's talking about, is that the way that the leases a lot of times are structured is that if there is some environmental infraction, then the lease stipulates that they have 30 days to correct. We tell them to desist, and then they have 30 days to correct. And then so there's nothing really punitive done. And so there's been this back and forth for years without any real skin in the game from a tenant. So this has been to address that so that we don't have the.
This covers housekeeping as well and other items
Yeah.
like encroachment on property that they don't lease and so
Right.
forth. This gives us some leverage.
Commissioner Campbell, I would agree with your assessment of the overlapping jurisdictions and authorities on a number of different issues down here at the port. It's why at every chance I get. I advocate for local control of these things, and this is specific to the port and really is local control. And so this will address a lot of those details. Obviously, there's overarching laws and regulations that we have to comply with. But this is really, as Stacy outlined, a tool for us to use in order to make sure that folks are doing the things they should and can potentially have some teeth that we just don't have right now.
Yeah, the one thing I noticed in here that I like is the fact that sandblasting is almost impossible to do over there because most of that sand has arsenic in it, whether you realize it or not. And you probably know about that.
Well, yes, we took our sand up to Portland.
Yeah,
They,
exactly.
and fortunately, we didn't run into any arsenic.
Yeah.
So I think
The heavy duty stuff is,
that's older paint, something.
yeah. It's the sand itself that has the arsenic in it for cleaning.
Well, depends on which sand we
Yeah,
use.
exactly. But that's pretty hard to contain under most circumstances, you know, because most of these shipyards have this screen over everything that'll stop any of that from getting away.
Any further questions for our environmental officer? Thank you, Stacy. Good job.
Thank you.
That concludes our first reading. Item B is also advisory, concerns the City of Astoria right of way. Director Awesome.
Commissioner. I want to formally inform the commission of a current issue that we're dealing with here at the port, that in my estimation is a deviation from what is set forth in the waterfront master plan. That was a collaboration between the City of Astoria and the Port of Astoria, and was formally approved by both organizations. So to give you some context on this issue, really the start of this has to do with CBH, CLATSA Behavioral Healthcare, and their new facility located adjacent to port property on the other side of KFC. And so previous to being in that building, CBH was a tenant down here at the port, and as such had a lease agreement and also a parking agreement associated with that lease. They went through the normal process for permitting with the city for their new building. Coincidentally, before the project ever started, I here at the port office had a pretty long conversation with then director of CBH, Amy Baker, to discuss the project. And actually, one of the questions that I had brought forth to her was the idea of parking, just because I knew the fairly significant amount of parking they required down here at the port, and was just wondering how they were going to achieve that at the new location, because it didn't appear as if there would be ample parking. And she assured me that that was a consideration and as part of the design of the project would be taken care of. And so, fast forward, Amy is no longer with that organization, but we were contacted by CBH regarding their need for additional parking that they don't have at their new location. And what they were wanting to do was to get back the parking agreement that they had with the port when they were tenants of the port. And so staff had worked with CBH and had let them know that, you know, parking is especially when things get busy down here, is a real pinch point for them. It's a huge part of the discussion actually in the waterfront master plan with any development down here is parking has to be a huge consideration. And so their old parking agreement was based on the fact that they're tenants and we have to, you know, reserve our parking for our tenants. Now there is the ability for anybody from the public to obtain either a daily or a monthly parking permit. I said that would be an option for you guys to get a parking permit, and they said that, well, that's too expensive and not something we want to do. And so I think it was here just a couple months ago, they actually had a representative from Their organization was here speaking to the commission about the issue. And so since that time, we had actually been in talks with them and working on a plan and actually an idea that they may, again, lease some space for us as kind of overflow space, and then would get some parking with that. And so in the meantime, the port had been working with the city for approximately 6 months on obtaining a permit for restriping a number of our lots here on port property. And one of the things the port was attempting to do was in that very narrow lot near the Chinook building and the hotel, that when that lot's full, it's hard to drive by those vehicles there, especially if you get trucks parked bumper to bumper. And so part of our plan was that we were going to slightly change the layout of that and create more of an angle with those parking spots that would create some more space as far as vehicles moving by. And we were going to lose a few spots in doing that just because the vehicles weren't going to be parked in there as tight. And so in going back and forth with the city of Astoria on that, we learned that if there were any changes to that lot, that would trigger new requirements to meet current code. And there was a number of things they had outlined in terms of size of the spaces, ADA access, bicycle parking, those kinds of things that were going to be quite expensive, because then we were going to have to go back and get a new design for everything. And this was meant to be a bit temporary because we have development around that area queued up. And so it didn't make a whole lot of sense to go and bring in a design team to completely rehash the whole parking plan right before we started development. What we've now learned is also through that process, and you have a map of this in your packet, it's on page 19 of the packet, the city discovered that neither the city or the port was aware of prior to this, that not only does the city have a right-of-way that runs north to south on Basin Street, but for some odd reason, that right-of-way also extends on Industry Street to the west in kind of an L formation, as you can see on that map. And so there are 23 parking spots that are technically in that city of Astoria right-of-way, for which historically the port has always maintained. We've done the enforcement, provided parking passes for that area. But through that permitting process, the city is now asserting that this is their lot. And as such, I just learned the other day that the city had signed an agreement with Clatsop Behavioral that of those 23 spots, that the city will guarantee that 8 of those spots will be available for CBH parking. It doesn't guarantee which spots they'll be, other than there will be 8 spots, and the city is going to charge CBH, I believe it's $50 a month per spot for those slots. So that brings up a number of questions, because prior to this, throughout decades of history, the port has, again, maintained, managed, provide parking plans, parking permits, enforcement for this entire area. And now the city is taking out a slice of that, for which the port controls to the east, to the west, to the north, and to the south. So right in between our parking area are these 23 city lots that currently don't have any signage indicating that they're city spots. There's no delineation physically between what belongs to the city and what belongs to the port. And I have some concern from the port's end that this was done without collaboration with the port or a discussion on these various issues now of how this is going to be managed, because it brings up some interesting things. Because one of the things that the port relies heavily on is parking revenue to support the very infrastructure that surrounds the businesses and the tenants that we support. And so at times that we're at full capacity, it's not quite as big of an issue because you're only wiping out 8 of the total. But what becomes a bigger problem now is maybe it's not that busy on a typical day. We might get, you know, 30 or 40 day passes. Well, now if the city wants to delineate that area and have signage, and if folks can come down there and park on these city slots for free, well, then why would you ever pay the port a parking pass fee? You would park on the city slots that, again, have always been maintained by the port. And then two, the enforcement of if there isn't going to be signage in the proposal that the city manager gave me this weekend was that maybe we could just provide CBH with port parking passes to park in those slots that don't look any different so that there is no physical delineation. But again, that brings up other issues of then the remaining 15 slots of how those get managed. And I think the bigger issue really goes back to this idea of the master plan for the waterfront area and this idea of collaboration. And I'm pulled here, page 40 of the master plan, which outlines the parking. And it's very clear here, the lot in question, fully east to west, is considered dedicated lots for the development around the basin. Well, now these slots are being used for a tenant that's not only in the not in the waterfront master planning area, they're not a port tenant. They're actually completely off-site. And so two, the precedent for that if they're allowed $50 a month to get eight of those slots, well, if another potential user comes forward and says, well, I want the additional 15 at $50 a month, well, now we've carved out 23 prime slots right on the marina that now the port doesn't control. We don't generate any revenue and they don't support any of the tenants down there. To me, that's hugely problematic. And so I've at this point had discussions with the mayor. I've had discussions with the city manager as well as the community development director. We have a follow-up meeting next week. I believe it's the 29th, which is Wednesday, to further discuss this. But I wish we would be discussing this at a time prior to having this signed agreement that the city now has with CBH for these spots. And so I know that the advisory committee that oversaw the entire planning process, one of the first meetings and maybe the first comment that was made by David Reed, actually, the director of the Chamber of Commerce, was, you know, how do we ensure if we're going to work on this plan, we're going to move things forward? There's been a history of the port and the city having various issues. How do we make sure that we don't just spend all these resources and time? We get a plan in place. And then one organization or the other decides that they're just going to do something completely different. We have to stick to the plan. And to me, this is a classic example of because of outside pressures, and the city manager was, you know, he was very forthright in sharing, you know, some of the issues they're dealing with, and some of the public pressure they're getting, and the fact that then this became such a priority to provide this parking, that it, you know, ended up superseding the plan itself or this collaboration with the port. But I think we need to get this figured out going forward because you can look at it sort of in a vacuum and say that, well, eight spots, how impactful is that really? But now I have greater concern about, you know, based on this, do we truly have a partnership going forward, or is the partnership only exist up to the point the city wants or needs to do something different, and they're just going to go ahead and do it without ever even asking the port about it. And so I don't take it lightly that I'm sharing this publicly tonight because I do think it's important for organizations to work together to the greatest extent possible, try to solve issues and not make it some sort of a public battle. And I'm not asking for a public battle, but I do want to make sure that the commission is aware of this current dynamic and that staff is working through this to try to get a resolution. But with the limited amount of parking we have and with the development that we have queued up, we just can't afford to be giving up some of that parking for which we don't get revenue to a business or a tenant that's not even down here at the port. They're not waterfront dependent. And in my opinion, should have probably been able to foresee before construction ever took place, because again, it's a question that I had asked of their director. So in my discussion with the community development director, I asked him if there was any possible solutions here. And he basically said that, well, the solution is that the port can find them parking that's at a cheaper rate than what they're getting here, then that would be the solution, which it's, you know, I take some issue with. I don't believe it's the port's responsibility to provide parking for class of behavioral. And this isn't a judgment on cost of behavioral or the work they do. But we have business to conduct down here, and it's supposed to be for economic development.
And I'm not sure how that fits into the bigger picture of what the port does, the port's mission, and then more specifically what's lined out in this master plan. So I guess with that, I would entertain any questions or comments on this issue.
What's really interesting is the fact that no matter what we try to do in developing a master plan, they turn it down. Every time we turn around, they turn it down. And we got a master plan, quite frankly, should go in the garbage can. And I think this is a good reason to throw it in the garbage can. They don't follow it. Why should we? They blatantly built that building knowing they didn't have proper parking for it, assuming that they're going to walk down and pick somebody else's property up. I don't think that's right. I don't think the port should give it up. It's a big part of our revenue in that marina, and I think we should fight it. I'm angry about it.
Mr. Hill. Questions, comments?
You know, I've witnessed the work that I've witnessed part of the work that Will has done on this master plan before he became a commissioner. There was much more, and it's really a shame to have surprises thrown there after there was a full agreement. So I have to agree that we hold to our guns until there's an agreement that you like. So not just a blanket sign this thing today.
We're not voting or signing on anything today, but I understand your comments. I know you've been consulting our lawyer, and perhaps our real estate people. Can you explain who owns that property and what right of way means in this case?
Yeah, so we're still working on that.
Uh-huh.
If you look at the map, one of the odd things about this right of way is typically if you would have a right of way, it's a right of way of access to something. Well, this just sort of deadheads. It would make actually more sense if the right of way extended all the way through to Portway or something, but it doesn't. It just kind of arbitrarily comes to an end at a spot here in the middle of our parking lot, which seems strange. So there's kind of multiple things going on right now from the port's end of, A, obviously working with the city, but then B, trying to do some background research on sort of what rights exist with this right of way, how this right of way came to be, when it came to be, what was the purpose of it, so that maybe through that information can kind of help us get to a solution. Because just based on this map, it does seem quite arbitrary. The Basin Street north and south makes sense. But extending out like that into industry that goes to nowhere doesn't make a whole lot of sense. There's actually a separate right of way. You can kind of see it outlined in the yellowish orange lines there that is in the Journey's End parking lot, kind of on the west edge of that. There's also a right of way that actually goes to nothing either. I've heard that had something to do with the bridge when it was put in. But again, we're trying to at this point do some background on this. I know Stacy's been working on it some as well to try to identify some of that information that can help us as we look for a solution that's better than carving out a section of spots that really I think should be for the waterfront properties.
What can you recall, Mr. Campbell? One more item, too. That street, the best of my recollection, I've been around here for a lot of years with the port, and the city has never spent a dime on Industry Street from Portway East, period. The port has always had to spend the money doing the blacktop, doing this, doing that. And so I don't know where they get away with claiming that, but.
Well, that's evidenced by the fact that we worked on a permit for this very area for 6 months to restripe it. Never once did the city say, well, you're trying to restripe or stripe our lot. Because
Exactly.
at the end of the process, again, I think through pressure from CBH for them to find a solution that they found this right of way, then went ahead and signed this agreement.
They were really hard on the other one up there in the east end of town. They made them put all the parking underneath or just a very little outside.
in order to get by with it, get their permits to build it. So, I mean, if we can just pick up and do everything we should do, it looks like that just makes our plan null and void. They haven't pulled that.
I want to elaborate for the benefit of the commissioners and our guests here. Parking and parking revenue is not the entire issue. We need parking for our tenants. But that master plan includes development on port property, which would necessitate what you have, retail stores, fish markets, things like that that are mentioned in the plan. They would need parking for their customers. Parking is one of the first things that come up when we discuss development on port property. That's what ODOT and other agencies in Salem ask you. Well, you can't build that unless you find parking, because they don't want people parking on the streets and clogging up the roads. That's where they're coming from. So all of the hospitality development and tourism and new structure and use of our buildings or other buildings we might want to build have a fulcrum based on parking. Our parking lot's full in the summertime. Come down here, the fishing season is open, especially Buoy 10, and it's full. That's all I have to add, unless the commissioners want to discuss something further. Thanks for your work on that, Director. I know you will keep us informed on it. We're going to move to commission comments. Commissioner Hill.
The only thing I have to say tonight is congratulations to Stacy and Matt and people that worked on that. It's the paperwork. A lot of paperwork there. A lot of rules. Thank you.
Mr. Campbell, anything further?
I don't have any further.
Thank you. I need to report that I did attend the Astoria Column Foundation dinner Saturday, courtesy of Mayor Van Dusen. It was certainly populated by local city and county officials and elected officers. So I did pay our respects to Senator Weber and Representative Javadi. Mayor Astoria asked me how things were going at the port, and I didn't want to discuss this parking issue at a reception, so I told him fine and said we need to meet more often. Moving on, our next item is Executive Director comments.
Hey, Commissioner, I just have a couple things for tonight. The first one is next week, Jim Carmack is in town, so he is the state director for the state of Oregon for USDA rural development. I was able to connect with him through former Senator Betsy Johnson regarding mostly want to chat with him about Pier 2 and the progress we're making on permitting. I think I had shared with the commission at our last meeting that the state had decided that they were not going to require mitigation for this project.
Yes.
But that doesn't completely relieve us of mitigation obligations at the federal level. And so one of the discussions we want to have now is the fact that if the state is not requiring this, it's a good thing at the state level, but also potentially presents some problems, because now we don't have a mitigation project because the state saying, go ahead with it. Let's not worry about resolving this ownership issue. But if the feds are going to still require something, well, now we're left without a mitigation project. And so I want to have a discussion with him. And then as a part of that, he's asked to have a port tour, and I think specifically wants to see Pier 2. I know in talking with Betsy that he's been fairly successful in kind of greasing the skids or getting some stuff done for some other local organizations that had felt like they'd hit a roadblock where things had been stalled. And so looking forward to that meeting and tour, which is next Wednesday. Tomorrow, Matt and I, and actually Shane, will be on a call with the Oregon Freight Advisory Committee. This is the next step in the Connect Oregon process. I believe I shared at the last meeting we had had our initial interview and presentation. And so this is a follow-up to that. And so that will be via Zoom tomorrow. And the last thing I wanted to share, and Commissioner Stevens had actually sent me an email on this, but the PNWA had announced their annual conference, which is August or October 13th through 15th in Vancouver. I didn't attend this last year. I think both Matt and I have attended this at times in the past. Commissioner Stevens had asked if it's something commissioners could attend, which you can. I think the early bird registration, I don't have the exact date, but it's in September. So we'll just want to figure out who's going to be attending before then so that we can get registered. But again, that's, if you're interested, that's October 13th through 15th in Vancouver, Washington, for the PNWA annual conference.
Would the ports pay for?
So the port would pay. There's a registration fee to attend the conference, as well as lodging for that.
Your report would cover that?
Yeah.
Thank you.
I do have one more thing that we need to give some attention to. I noticed that the in the current tides we've had lately, there's a big dam has built up in front of that big tide gate out there, and that airport is not draining like it should. It's probably runs out just about to the top of the tide gate itself, and it pools up. There's a dam there, and that channel that used to run out there hasn't been dredged since I don't know when. Bomber did it when he was dredging here, but I don't know what the other one looks like. Somebody needs to check it too. But that subsurface at the airport is getting saturated, and we need to address that. I think Warrenton's, that's under their control, then. Yeah.
Jim, if that gate were operational, it would dredge itself. Is that not true?
Not necessarily. That's built up over the years out there. Whole mud flat. They went in there and they dug a channel.
Sure.
And it lasted 50 years, I think. But
you see,
you have to have somewhere to go because that silt, it sucked a lot of the silt out from under the runways and stuff in there, and a lot of that area was sinking. And there's a lot of silting going on because the causeway was built there. But they're going to have to cut a channel in there, that's for sure. We're getting a lot of sinkholes out there.
Do we have a problem with beaver dams out there?
Well, we have the occasional problem, but we haven't had a lot.
That's it. Okay. Thank you, Commissioner. Any other comments, questions for the director? If not, our upcoming meeting dates, we have a regular meeting August 4th, 2026 at 4 p.m. right here in the same chambers, and a workshop session planned for August 18th, 2026, same time. Meeting is adjourned.